Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
This evening, if you would, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll begin reading with verse number 1 tonight. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. We're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture where Paul was writing in his letter to the Ephesians, and as he was covering the needs that were in their lives, the things that the Holy Spirit had laid upon his heart, the convictions that he had for this church and for these people, he is now ending or coming close to ending his letter. And he is at a point where he is wanting to make them aware of the necessity of God and the necessity of their unity in their walk with Christ. Because they were living in some very difficult times. Often we like to think, I believe anyway, we like to think that things that were going on in the Bible days were much more detailed. They were much greater problems than we have today, and really that's not the case. There are the problems that the folks dealt with in the Bible days are the very same problems that you and I deal with today. The only thing, we see them on a magnified scale because of technology. We have television, we have immediate news coverage, we have internet, we have all of those things going on at our disposal. We can see at a moment's notice what's going on in Europe, in Russia, in Asia, China, North Korea, Japan, any of those areas. We can know in just a click of a button what's taking place in those areas. In Paul's day, it took weeks or months or maybe years for information to get traveled, but the things were still going on there. Paul was looking at the Ephesians and he knew what they were facing. He knew what was going on in their lives, and he was trying to give them some direction. And with that direction, he was wanting to give them some encouragement. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. This passage of Scripture is some direction and some encouragement that works in our life tonight, and it helps us be better Christians, be stronger Christians, and be more unified in our work and in how we are moving and presenting ourselves, and more focused on Christ, more focused on the gospel, and more focused in His work for the church and through the church. So join me in chapter 4 and verse 1 where he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's why I want to stop tonight, because I believe that's going to take up the time that we have to really focus on what he is saying. Paul there makes mention right off the bat that he is a prisoner of the Lord. Now that's not something that's special and particular to Paul. You see, we are all prisoners of the Lord tonight. If we are saved, we are his prisoner. As a matter of fact, something that we don't really look very strongly at today and realize very strongly today, but you realize as you have watched the news over the last few weeks, there has been a resurgence in the talk of slavery here in the United States, of what took place back in the 1800s that led to the Civil War, or was at least partially accountable for the Civil War, and it was slavery. And then you hear about slavery in other nations and slavery of how people were taken and put under bondage. Well, do you know, spiritually speaking, we are all under slavery. We are under slavery either of the devil as being someone who is lost and undone, or we are in slavery to Jesus Christ, but we are in bondage to someone spiritually. Now, I realize that may not be popular preaching tonight. But it's a reality. It is a spiritual reality that the church has to regain a grasp of tonight. When Paul says he is a prisoner of the Lord, that is a statement that is very true, and it's something that holds true in your life tonight and in my life if we are saved. We are prisoners of Jesus Christ. He bought us and paid for us with His blood on the cross. We came to Him and we asked Him to forgive us of our sin, which He did, and He brought us into His fold. So we are His. We are His. We belong to Him. We are His church. We are His body. And that puts us in a spot of being someone and being a group of people that are doing what? We are. We walk. He says, Paul says, beseech you. He beseeches the church that they walk worthy. Well, what does beseech come down to? It is a word of urgency. It is an old archaic word. It's not used today, but in the days of the King James Bible, it was very popular. It means an urgency with a plea attached to it. Paul was saying that this is something that the church has to take seriously. This is not something that we just take tongue in cheek and just walk just by and by with it. We have to take our walk seriously. Now let's think about walk. When we walk, walking is a two-part process. We think about it, and then we physically do it. You may not realize you think about walking. When you're at home, when you're here in the church, wherever you're at, comes to mind, I need to go get this. And you walk to get it. You're cognitive in where you need to go, how you need to get there, and the steps and the direction you need to make that happen. And then physically, you put that into action with the steps that you take. Our spiritual walk is no different. We know where we need to be. We know how we need to get there. We know the path that we need to take. And then we have to physically put one foot in front of another to get there, to get from point A to point B. And that's what Paul was talking about here to the Ephesians. He was saying, be urgent. Realize the urgency of being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that realization of that urgency, take seriously the walk that you have in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That walk needs to be worthy of your calling. Now, that's not talking about vocations, not talking about a pastor. It's not talking about a missionary. It's not talking about any particular gifting or calling. It is the word call. It's the Greek word for calling or purpose. Paul says, walk worthy of your purpose. And what is our purpose? Our purpose is to be the body of Christ. When Jesus ascended into heaven, He left the Great Commission for the church, and He left it with a promise that He would be returning to come back and call us home. But in the meantime, we have a purpose to reach out and to see people saved, to meet needs, and to baptize them and make disciples of them in the name of Christ. Now, does that mean that we're going to reach, that everyone we reach is going to be saved? No, it does not. But it means that our work is to be progressive and continuing. Our walk is to be purposeful in what He has called us to do. And it is to be purposeful in a few things that He lists next, beginning in verse 2. He says, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. We are to be humble and attentive and loving and caring in the way that we handle the purpose that God has given us and that Jesus Christ has prepared us to be. It is not something that we do just out of an obligation, where we say, well, I guess I gotta go do this because it's expected of me. God's not going to honor that attitude. God wants us to have a heart of humility, a heart of gentleness, and a heart of long-suffering. Now, that word long-suffering, that's a pretty difficult word to wrap our hearts around. It is something that it means putting up with. Long-suffering means putting up with. He is telling us that we have to put up with a lot of stuff. The church has to put up with a lot of stuff. Jesus Christ had to put up with a lot of stuff when He was walking on this earth. Jesus had to put up a lot of stuff out of me before I got right with God and I got saved and I got to moving and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He had to put up with a lot of stuff. And if we're honest tonight, every one of us is honest tonight, Jesus has to put up with a lot of stuff out of every one of us. And whenever we're thinking about that, all He's doing is asking us to take that same heart and that same mindset when we're dealing with other people. Whether we're dealing with folks inside the church or outside the church, He wants us to be long-suffering. And He takes that into the next step, forbearing one another in love. That word love is the word agape. And that word agape, as I have said before, is a love that is a love that doesn't expect anything in return. There are no catch-22s to that. It is not a love that says, I will love you because I can get something from you. I will love you because you will love me in return. It doesn't say, I will love you because, and fill in the blank. That's not what agape is. Agape says, I will love you. I will come after you. I will seek you with the gospel. I will help you as I can help you. I will do anything that I can possibly do in the humbleness and the loneliness and the meekness and the long-suffering, and I will do it from my heart. That makes things tough. Let's just be real about it tonight. That makes things tough. Because that means we have to put up with a lot of browbeating. That means we have to put up with a lot of being talked down to. That means we have to put up with a whole lot of things in life. But if we're following the model of Christ, and if we're coming back and we are walking worthy of the calling that we have through Jesus Christ, we have something to hold on to. We have the faith in Christ. We have His example to follow. And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into those a little deeper as we move into the closing part of the message tonight. We see in verse 3 the word endeavoring. Endeavoring is a working, continuing purpose. It is a goal. So Paul says there is a goal to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The people of Christ, the church, has a goal or should have a goal. Their first goal, their main goal, is to keep unity of peace. It should not be anything else. It should not be big I's and little we's. It shouldn't be mine versus yours. It should be a goal of keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit should have precedence in all of our lives. Now, this is not something that we are going to be able to, on our own, say, hey, look, I'm going to start doing this. It's not going to work. We don't have the ability to do that. That's why the word Spirit is in there. This is something that empowers us. The Holy Spirit does this through us. We have to be submissive. We have to turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. We have to be the people that say, I want the Holy Spirit to do this through me because I'm not able to do it. Flesh will not let us do it. The flesh will get in the way. The temperaments, attitudes, all of that will get in the way. But if we use the Holy Spirit the way He's given to us to do, the Holy Spirit can work in our hearts to keep our purpose and our endeavoring to be unified in the bond of peace. Go back into the book of Matthew and you start reading the Beatitudes, and it says the peacemakers will be blessed. the peacemakers. That's supposed to be the church. That is supposed to be who we are. We are supposed to be the peacemakers. Now, too often it doesn't work out that way. Why? Because we're not following the Spirit. We're following the flesh. We're trying to do it on our own. And we have our own agendas. We have our own ideas. We have our own thoughts. And instead of us following what God wants, instead of us being sensitive to what's in His Word, we are sensitive into what we want. We are sensitive into our ideas. We are sensitive into me, mine, and I. And when that happens, we start being products of the flesh. And we quit endeavoring to keep the unity of peace. The Holy Spirit gives us the direction and the purpose and the encouragement and the strength to move forward. Paul was telling that to the people here at Ephesus. They couldn't do it on their own. It was not something they could say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. He said, let the Holy Spirit have it. Then in verse 4, he starts bringing it right down to where the rubber meets the road. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All of those things that comprise the Great Commission. All of those things that comprise the work of the church and the purpose of the church. Go forward. Go back into Acts. Go back into Acts chapter 2 and read what happens when the church gets birthed at the day of Pentecost. And you will see one body, the body of Christ. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit. One hope, the hope and the purpose of our calling and our direction. One Lord, our Jesus Christ. One faith, the faith that led us to salvation in Jesus Christ. One baptism, that baptism that is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that symbol that is in our hearts and in our lives is part of our testimony and part of our witness tonight. One God and Father of all, the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the God and the Father of everything that is out there, everything that is done from creation to consummation. It is all wrapped up in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then in verse 6, at the end, here's some things that are very special. Who is above all, through all, and in you all? God is the creator of everything. He is the creator of the trees and all of this, and you know this. He's the creator of Adam and Eve. He's the creator of you. He's the creator of your salvation tonight. He is the creator of everything that we have. And through all, His church, those whom He has bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, are the ones that He works through. Those that are saved tonight are the all that Paul is talking about. He works through all of those that are His tonight. And in you all. Paul tells the Ephesians that they are included. Paul tells the Ephesians that it's about them, that it's just as much about them as it is about the Romans. It's just as much about them as it is about the Gentiles. It's just as much about them as it is about the Jews. It doesn't matter whether it's Jew or Gentile, whether whomever it is, if you're saved by grace through faith, it is for you all. God is for you tonight. Yes, there is a purpose. Yes, there is a work. Yes, there is a walk. Yes, it is something that requires our attention and requires our priority. But with all of that, there is a preparation as well. And the preparation that we have is the preparation that comes through the Holy Spirit and through the work of Christ in our lives. And all that's required on our part is submission. And are we willing to do that tonight? Are we willing to be submissive and totally sold out to Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to have His work and His will in our life? I hope we are, because there are souls that hang in the balance tonight. And we are the messengers. You and I are the messengers that bring the gospel to them.